Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is Matthew 5, 21 to 37. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, "You shall not murder, or whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the fire of hell. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift at that altar and go. First, reconcile to your brother or your sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in her, in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to go to hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of unchastity causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, or for it is the throne of God, or by earth, it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
As a pastor, occasionally I will receive a comment from one of you that unnerves me. The first time this happened, I was a seminary student interning at a local Presbyterian church. This parishioner, we'll call her Sally, said that she had heard that I don't like veterans. Her comment confused me. As most of you know, my father was a Marine. My dad taught me to respect our servicemen and women from a young age. Since I was confused, I asked Sally why she thought this, and she said, "Well, you didn't pray for veterans on the Sunday before Veterans Day, so you must hate them." I was too new in my ministry to recognize that this is a classic example of what we call anger coming out sideways. As I was reflecting on this exchange with my supervisor at the time, I realized that Sally wasn't angry with me at all. She was angry with the pastor because the pastor had not hired her neighbor to be the new church custodian. But rather than talk to the pastor about it, she decided to take a jab at me, the seminary intern, instead. I'm really grateful that I learned an important lesson that day. If anger cannot be properly expressed and dealt with, it will always come out sideways. And the problem with anger coming out sideways is that it destroys the very relationships we're trying to build in our churches. Our scripture passage for this morning are the closing verses to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus names the four ways that relationships tend to go awry in community: anger, adultery, divorce, and swearing. Jesus here calls his listeners not to avoid these calls to righteousness, but to dig that much more deeply into them. By expanding our understanding of the law, Jesus makes it possible for us to live in community with one another. Let's look at anger, for example. The Ten Commandments say, "Thou shalt not murder." It's a pretty basic commandment. What God is saying here is that no matter how angry you are with someone else, you are not permitted to kill them. All countries and all cultures have some variation of this rule as a guiding principle for how they organize their life together. But, as we all know, it is totally possible to not kill someone, but still be angry with them. So Jesus says, "But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go be reconciled with your brother or sister. Jesus is not messing around when it comes to anger. Anger or feeling contempt to another human being is just as bad as killing a person, according to Jesus. Because holding on to anger makes reconciliation virtually impossible. What Jesus is saying here is that it is no longer enough for you to just not kill the person you are angry with. There's nothing noble about this, particularly because all of us live in a country where the punishment for killing someone far outweighs any potential benefit. No, here Jesus is calling us to the hard work of taking steps towards reconciliation with someone we're angry with. Regardless of who caused the initial problem in the relationship, the person who becomes aware of the difficulty is the person responsible for taking the first step towards peace. Friends, I don't think I'm saying anything new or earth-shattering here when I say that the work of reconciliation isn't easy, fun, or for the faint of heart. Telling another person that they hurt you, but that you want to stay in relationship with them, doesn't guarantee that the other person is going to change their behavior, or that they're going to want to stay in relationship with you. It's just as hard to stay in relationship with someone who has hurt you as it is to stay in a relationship with someone that you know you have hurt. But it is exactly these types of conversations that make communal life possible. Jesus' sermon compels us to reflect on what obligations our community might embrace. As I was putting this sermon together, I began to wonder how both of our churches might name instances of anger coming out sideways in our life together. What would it look like instead of gossiping, quarreling, being passive aggressive, or falling off the face of the earth, each and every one of us committed to taking that one small step towards reconciliation? I think reconciliation has to begin with all of us committing to speaking the truth in love to the person we're having an issue with. Let me give you an example. Instead of saying to your friend out in the parking lot, "Our pastor didn't pray for veterans on the Sunday before Veterans Day. What's wrong with her? Does she hate veterans? She must also hate America, too." Instead, maybe go up to your pastor and say, "Pastor, I don't know if you're aware, but I'm a veteran. Every year I look forward to the prayer that you pray on the Sunday before Veterans Day. I know that you didn't include it this year, and that really hurt my feelings. Can you make a note to include one next year?" I hope you'll see from these examples that we speak the truth in love when we communicate clearly in a helpful way to the person we're angry with. When I've had to have these conversations, I find it really helpful to write out in one or two sentences exactly what the issue is from my perspective. I know when I'm stressed or nervous or anxious, I tend to ramble. So I find the practice of putting my concern in one or two sentences helps me be as clear as possible. Once I've communicated whatever the issue is with someone else, I really try to suggest one or two ways that we might address the issue going forward. Because I found that criticism without action or without suggestions for how to move forward never goes anywhere. The key thing, though, to remember is that you are not responsible for the other person's behavior, only for what you do with your anger. I know I'm asking us all to engage in really hard work, so I want to leave us with some words of encouragement. The benefit of being part of a community means that we are not alone. We have each other to lean on during tough seasons of life. And most importantly, Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us, even when someone angers us, someone hurts our feelings, or when someone uses us as an outlet for their anger. I think it's a fair thing to say, "Pastor, these standards are just impossible. How am I supposed to reconcile with everyone that has ever made me angry?" And to that I will say, "You're right, but unfortunately, these are the standards that Jesus holds us to. Even though we have a responsibility to one another, even if we don't always get it right all of the time, Jesus will always be with us and promises never to forsake us." Let us go from this place extending the same grace to one another that God extends to us in Jesus. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.